While in London, Sun received an unexpected boost to his efforts of eliciting help for his cause. While on his way there, in 1896, he was kidnapped and held in the Chinese Qing Embassy. He managed to sneak a message to a friend who talked to the press. This created an embarrassing situation for the Chinese government, which consequently released Sun. The Chinese portrayed Sun as insane or as an idiot. This incident, along with a popular book that he wrote about the experience, magnified his reputation internationally. In Japan, shortly after, he was welcomed as an international celebrity. In order to carry out a successful revolution, he realized that his agenda required the support of intellectuals. To enroll the support of the latter, he needed a well-thought-out plan or theory. From this realization, the doctrine of the three principles of the people was disclosed. The three were nationalism, democracy, and the people's livelihood. Nationalism was interpreted initially to mean anti-Manchu, while democracy meant a republican form of government. The people's livelihood was perceived as state ownership of property. This would be the solution to avoid the problems of economic inequalities experienced in the West. Given his knowledge of the West's experience, Sun saw this approach for China as more practical and reliable. His plan for revolution suggested three stages: military rule, political tutelage, and constitutional government. He saw that military rule was needed for a period of time to rid China of lingering corruption from the Qing period and to create an environment of stability to create the new Chinese society. Political tutelage guardianship for perhaps 3 years was needed to gradually develop a stronger, more permanent political system and to acclimatize the Chinese people to these political changes. After 6 years, China might be ready for a permanent constitutional republican government. He sincerely hoped that his plan would permeate China with widespread acceptance. In 1905, while in Japan, Sun was instrumental in setting up the United League of China. The Wuchang Wuhan Revolt in October of 1911 brought Sun Yat-sen to Shanghai. Shortly after the successful overthrow of the Qing dynasty, Sun was elected interim president of the New Republic of China in Nanking, the capital. This government immediately set out to develop a provisional, temporary constitution. However, by February of 1912, Sun resigned as president to give way to Yuan Shikai, who brought with him a lot of support from the north, which provided the opportunity to unify greater parts of China. Also in 1912, the United League of China set up the Kuomintang, KMT, the National Party of China. Yuan Shikai, in the meantime, betrayed the Republic and Sun's trust by attempting to set himself up as a dictator. Sun immediately proceeded in pursuit of Yuan, but was unsuccessful and had to go into exile in Japan. In 1924, the Kuomintang convened at Guangzhou to establish three principles to solidify and strengthen the Republic and to unify the rest of China. These principles included developing an alliance with Russia, helping farmers, workers, and bourgeois, and recommending a national conference to end the brutal, unequal treaties imposed by foreign nations. The result was the Declaration of Beijing, the last official act of Dr. Sun Yat-sen before liver cancer took his life in March of 1925. Sun Yat-sen was widely mourned as tributes came in from all over. Many intellectuals saw Sun as a man of action, a pragmatist, and not as a great intellectual. Throughout his life, he was not above contradicting his own principles or tolerating opposing views or parties to further his cause. For Sun, during these turbulent times, the end sometimes did seem to justify the means. His philosophy changed over time to meet changing needs. For many academics, Sun's career was not seen as the making of a myth, but as a real man dealing with real complex realities of his time. His presence inside and outside of China dominated Chinese history during the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He adopted and tailored Western ideas to the Chinese experience in order to create his vision of a new China. Many academics also felt that Sun's Western experiences greatly influenced his work and contributed to his predominant place in Chinese and world history. Before he died, he stated that the whole nation had to be awakened and united with those who treated them equally and fight side by side with them. Sun Yat-sen had received the respect of people throughout the world, even from non-communist sources. In China, he became a legend. When the Kuomintang and the communists split in 1927, both claimed to be heirs of his work. No one can deny Sun Yat-sen his rightful place, not only in Chinese history, but also in world history. He truly deserves the title and honor of Father of the Chinese Revolution.